Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing podcast. You know, networking is an amazing thing, especially when you use social media in the way, especially with like LinkedIn, in the way that you really want to use it to get to know people and make connections. I am so excited about having our guest because not only does he have an amazing social media presence, he's been featured in some of the biggest publications around because his story is so amazing. He's truly amazing, and he's going to drop some serious knowledge on us today. So his name is John Dwoskin, and he is the founder and CEO of the John Dwoskin Experience. And welcome to the show, man. You ready to get started?
I'm ready. I appreciate you having me on the show, Matt. Your introduction makes me think of one of the most important personal branding things that I learned 25 years ago, which is never believe your own PR. But thank you for the intro.
You're welcome. Well, see, I fell prey to your PR because I was like, wow, this dude's awesome.
Anyway, well, then it's working.
Yeah, it is.
But then you still never want to believe it. That is the downfall, which I think you and I both see. Can I swear on this podcast?
You know,
not that I'm a swearer.
You know what? You can. We have had other people do it before, and it's really funny. Anytime that does happen, John,
right.
My team is like, oh, my God, do we need to edit that out? And I'm like, no, we really don't.
Right. So. Right. I just was going to say, because when you see someone who believes their own PR, those are people usually, I guess I don't even really have to swear to say it, but those are just people, the douchebags that I just, you know what I mean? You're kind of like, come on, you know, chill out.
Well, I'm really interested. Let's start off with this story, right? So you were just featured in Forbes magazine very recently, and it was a really neat article and a really eye-opening article, and something that I think, it really hit home for me for a lot of reasons, which we don't need to get into, but let's talk about that. Tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Sure. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a business coach for a living, and I always am talking to people about, you know, being authentic in yourself and vulnerable and making sure that you pay attention to your brand, not only internally, but externally to your clients and how you market yourself, et cetera. And that Forbes article was so raw that when I read it, I thought, God, this is, you know, practice what you preach. I mean, it was extra vulnerable. And I'll tell you about the article in a second, when it went live, I knew about it like 24 hours before it went live. And I was almost hesitant. I didn't think anybody would really respond to it. And I think I had like over 500, I mean, not that I'm like a like person, but that I'm tracking it, but I think there was over 500 likes and 300 comments. I couldn't believe the response. And it just showed me the power of when you really put yourself out there and you really take your personal brand seriously and really make it personal, so many amazing things can happen when you're vulnerable.
You know, after reading it, I can see why so many people commented on it. And I love the vulnerability aspect of it. You know, there's so much ego that we have to deal with in financial services, specifically, you know, a lot of advisors who have been successful, they're surrounded by yes people. And it's really hard to maintain that level of humility. And from a cultural perspective, in our company here, Top Advisor Marketing, humility happens to be one of our values.
Yeah.
How do you do that, man? I mean, how do you balance that? I mean, you, as a business coach and consultant, as a successful person, how do you balance that level of attention, but still maintaining humility, still maintaining that vulnerability, because your brand now has a different feeling, in my opinion.
Right. Well, I agree. You know, I've always been, have had different levels of ownership of this. It's higher today, now that I'm 47, than it was when I was in my 20s and before. But I've always had innately and intuitively this I'm of service type of mentality. And so I've had to, after that article specifically, really had to surrender to that. Because I'm a really big believer when I'm working with clients that, not a believer, but when I'm working with clients and doing my work, business coaching, whether it doesn't matter if it's with a salesperson, a CEO, a manager, it doesn't matter who it is. my sixth sense is so high, and I'm so in tune to them and what they need, and I can see what's coming. And my sixth sense, because my sixth sense is so high, things just come through me. Mm-hmm. And when my ego is high, then I can't get the information as readily. And so I really have to spend time grounding myself and meditating and taking some quiet time every day so I can tap into my own gift, so I can then give it to other people and help them grow in whatever way I'm working with them.
There was a great article that just came out yesterday that was talking about how if you meditate for 15 minutes a day, it resets your brain to the point of at 50 years old, you can have the neurosynaptic activity of a 25-year-old. So, you know, I really wish more people just paid attention to embracing the quiet. Now, you just said a couple of things there, though, that I want to unpack a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
How do you teach people, because you've done this yourself, so how do you teach people to get out of their own way? Because not only are you not able to be the coach that you want to be, but financial services professionals and business owners, estate planning attorneys, real estate agents, all of the people who listen to this podcast have problems getting out of their own way.
Sure.
Help me help them.
Well, sure. I mean, I can tell you one of the things that I think is absolutely critical is everybody needs at least three mentors in their life, because we all have those moments where we can't get out of our own way. And if you don't have mentors that you can rely on to help and push you in the right direction, then that is something. So for me, like when I work with clients, it's not, of course, my one-on-one time is very effective and productive, but I'm always accessible to my clients. And so it's having mentors that are accessible. This is not a plug for myself right now, by the way, but it's just having the mentors that are in your life accessible in real time, because you always need those people. I mean, when I am in that moment where I can't get out of my own way, I pick up the phone or I email my business coach. And so he helps me. My wife is an amazing mentor. She helps me get out of my own way when I'm feeling like I'm in a rut. But also when I'm working with clients, it's really important. And these are a couple of fundamental things that most people do not do. A, have a plan. B, make it specific and measurable. And C, prioritize. I know those sound very simplistic and fundamental, but when you have a plan that incorporates those things, it's easier to get out of your own way because you know the rules of what you need to attack.
The level of okay, so you just called something simple that everybody gets tripped up on, right?
Correct.
I mean, it's you're right. It really is that simple. Take us into the coaching world, your coaching world a little
sure.
bit when you're helping people create that. You know, when I just had a gentleman on a podcast recently who was talking about how this client was too advanced to need a vision board. And I was like, really? That's really interesting. But the gentleman, I guess, wasn't a visual guy, which I've never heard of that. I coached for a long time, dude. Anyway,
yeah.
help. Let's unpack that more. I want to keep diving deeper with you because,
sure.
I mean, you're already just uncovering some beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
So each person is different. It doesn't matter if they're in the same organization and I'm working with 1, 2, 3, 10. It doesn't matter how many people within an organization I'm working. They're each their own individual company with their each having their own individual DNA and each having their own individual bedrocks, what's important to them and understanding what drives them. This is something I see in companies where people get this very off. The managers don't know what truly drives the individual people that they're managing. The CEOs, the leadership teams don't know what drives the individual people under them or the managers. And so when you have an organization, even when you have your values on the wall and your mission on the wall and your purpose on the wall, but you're disconnected from your people, then that's a problem. And so when I come in, I get people reconnected to themselves, to their DNA, to the bedrock of what makes them tick. And I think that's one thing I'm just happen to be really good at. And so because I can speak to them as an individual, and because I'm an outside source and I'm not part of the company, then they surrender and open up to the process.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the main keys.
Okay. I love bedrocks. So when we talk about branding and marketing for our clients, we're always looking for those foundational principles, right? What really makes you, you, and what makes you truly unique and different? Help us understand how you uncover those bedrocks so that our listeners might be able to grab a piece of paper and say, okay, John just made me think about this this way.
Sure. So I'm a big fan. Like I say, everybody has their own individual DNA, bedrock, et cetera. And each person has their own individual brand. And so when you look at yourself as a product, right? So sometimes I ask my clients, look at yourself as a product. And if you are a product, what is your brand? What is your brand in these walls within your company? And what is your brand externally to the outside client? And then there's different clients, which we don't need to dive into, but there's the consumer, there's the vendor, there's, you know, there's all of these third-party groups, there's all of these different clients. And you have to really pay attention to what is your brand with all of these people. And so sometimes I work with clients like nobody brings me in on this or nobody does this. And so the first question I ask them is, well, what's your brand? And they'll say, well, what do you mean? What's my brand? I'll say, well, what is your personal brand? Are you a complainer? Are you a doer? Are you somebody who's glass half empty, glass half full? Like, why aren't people, you are the issue if people are not, you know, look in the mirror. And so the most important thing is getting people to look in the mirror and determine why they are stuck in a pattern that simply isn't working for them. Because once upon a time, they came in and they were the new person and they were making friends and they were this, but something tainted them and got them stuck along the way. And so if they're still the right person in the right seat, then they really got to tap into their inner awareness and they got to snap out of it. I have a client that I work with pretty much the entire company, and I do some private coaching for their senior people. And the senior, one of the people I'm coaching is like, she was just not a friendly person and wouldn't talk to anybody. And after one session, I won't get you in, the content doesn't matter. They told me, oh my God, she's saying hi to people. She's walking in, she's smiling. She didn't understand her brand. And how her most important clients were the people that were just sitting around her. And so if you want to find your voice and not be considered arrogant or obstructive or, like we said earlier in the show, a douchebag, then you really want to understand what that brand is. And it means that you have to tap into some vulnerability of yourself and then bring your best self to the room so people want to be – so you're approachable and people want to talk to you.
I think that people like to remain the same, even if it is not the best thing for them, because that's their homeostasis, right? That's their equilibrium. What do you do to make people, because it has to be within them, as you just said, you know, for her to understand her own brain, how do you bring them out of it? How do you convince them that it's okay to take that risk to get out of that comfort zone?
Well, most people are really, at some level, at some point, at some piece of their world, they're complacent. And so I have this little poem that I show people, and I'll summarize it now, but it basically is a story about a frog. And I apologize for all the PETA listeners, but it's just a story. And the story is that if a frog is placed in boiling hot water, it will instinctively jump right out. But if a frog is placed in tepid water, and is slowly brought to a boil, they will ultimately get boiled to death. And that story resonates with, I mean, I've told it to thousands and thousands of people, really resonates with people on some level, whether it be personal or business. And so when I share that story and I say, where are you complacent and how is it affecting your, in this case, business world, then they surrender and typically open up with a story. Because they have, a lot of times they don't even realize they have fallen into complacency, and it's coaching them. It's first making them aware that they're complacent. And then what's the next step? Here's where people get in trouble. They then want to go, once they realize that they want to go from A to Z, that's not how it works. They need to go to A to 8.1. Mm-hmm. What's the first step, maybe two, out of this level of complacency? Otherwise, they get too far out of the law of proximity, takes them too far out to something idealistic and unrealistic. And then I work with them on what's the next one or two things that they need to do. That's the secret. Small steps.
you know, the universe has probably given you an enormous amount of this knowledge and gifts that you have. But as we were preparing for the podcast, you and I were exchanging some book ideas and some things like that. What are the things, like, where do you go for inspiration? Where do you go besides your mentors when you're stuck or when you want to make that next jump?
Sure. So I'm a huge learner. I got into this business because when I was 18 years old, my dad gave me a set of tapes that's by Brian Tracy, The Psychology of Success. He said, listen to these tapes. You'll learn more from these people than you will college. Matt, I became addicted, and there has not been a day that's gone by that I have not studied, listened to a tape, listened to a podcast, read a bunch of articles, read a book, listened to a book. So I'm a huge learner. I am always watching YouTube videos, listening to something, my car. I am always listening to a podcast, a book. I'm obsessed with learning. And I'll tell you something, I'm obsessed with learning. And that has been a huge piece for me because when I was a kid, I didn't know that I was dyslexic. I didn't know that I was auditory. I thought I was more visual. I am visual, but I'm more dominant in auditory. And so from 18 to 31, I was listening to every book I could on cassettes, not knowing that I was fueling my brain with exactly what I needed. And so knowing how you learn is key. And so now I'm, even though I read a ton, I'm also very reliant on audible.com and podcasts because that's how I know I learn and can retain faster.
One of the books that you and I talked about when we were preparing for the podcast was the Bhagavad Gita. And for those of you who don't know, it's a Hindu slash lots of other religions have attached themselves to them, to this book. But it's an amazing book and it's very different and it'll get you out of your comfort zone guaranteed. How often are you reading things like that that are so out of the norm for what you do professionally just to kind of interrupt your patterns?
It's every day. You know, one of the books that I don't think I would be where I am today if I hadn't read it 25 years ago was Seed of the Soul by Gary Zukav. It's one of the most powerful and amazing books I've ever experienced. I'm actually reading it again and listening to it right now. The book, in quick summary, you know, we're talking about branding and marketing and things of that nature. What it talks about is that when you can't tell when the personality ends and the soul begins, that's a human being. And I remember 25 years ago listening to that thinking, I'm out of alignment. I got to get into alignment. And that sentence that I read in that book has allowed me to make some decisions along my path of reinventing myself and switching my industries anytime I felt out of alignment where my personality did not match my soul.
I had a gentleman who told me he was super excited because he found the free online university classes from like Harvard and Yale and all of these things. And he was taking a metaphysics class. Uh-huh. And he's like, dude, talk about blowing your mind. You know, he's a finance guy and, you know, he's really black and white and numbers and equations have to equal, you know, and he's learning about reality and time. And he was like, you know what? I think I learned more not only about myself, but also how to be a better advisor by totally getting out of that, you know, that kind of brain thinking. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, Eckhart Tolle, you know, Gary Zukav, I mean, all of these types of people, you know, my brain, you know, needs to explore those types of theories and philosophies. And because to me, you know, we're more than just what we think. We aren't what we think. And so spiritually, it's very important for me to kind of fuel and feed my soul. And then it gives me a completely new perspective on how I can help guide my clients and what I do for myself.
So let's talk a little bit about what you do. So you've given us a little sprinklings here of hints. Let's talk about the experience. I know you speak and I know that you just tell us a little bit more about really what your day looks like, if that's okay.
Sure. So I'm a business coach. Some people call me an executive advisor. I speak. I'm an author. I wrote a book called The Think Big Movement, which is a business book told as a parable about a year and a half ago. Writing another book called Think Like a CEO, which will be out at the end of the year, 2019. And I work with C-level executives and leaders, managers and salespeople. And I am a business coach. I'm a mentor and a business coach. And where I differ than others is I've created my own system, my own methodology through my 25 years of experience in business, having started and sold an internet company when I was 23 to a Silicon Valley company, being a top broker, growing a brokerage firm, and helping restructure a company. And I just love going in and working with owners to create and set a vision, reverse engineer that vision to all the nitty gritty things that need to be done on a daily basis, and helping them create a plan and a business plan, and then holding them accountable. I love working with managers to teach them how to manage people, because many people do not. And I love working with salespeople, because a lot of people get complacent and need a sales mentor to help them figure out how to grow their business in a significant way. And so I do that. I do a lot of one-on-one coaching. I do a lot of group trainings for salespeople and managers, a lot of one-on-one coaching with, you know, C-levels, leaders, managers, salespeople, et cetera. And then I speak. I speak to large groups and do keynotes, you know, all over the country. And because of technology, like we're using Skype right now, I have clients all over the country, all over the world, that I'm business coaching, and everything I do is very custom to the person, to the company, to what that specific person needs, because people can only take so much at a time, and I customize it to them. So I'm speaking their language, not just shoving something down their throat that I think will work.
If you don't mind, I'm going to take a moment to ask you a couple of questions that are maybe a little bit more standard, but give our audience an opportunity to get to know you a little bit more as a human being. Is that okay?
Yeah, shoot.
All right, man. When you're not doing all of this stuff, what do you do for fun, man?
So I have a family. I have a family. I have a bunch of friends, and my wife and I, we live in Michigan. My son is 16. My daughter's 13. So I'm very hands-on, you know, family man. And I spend a ton of time with my family. I'm a big tennis player. I love to play tennis, a little bit of golf. I don't play as much golf anymore just because it just takes up a lot of time. Basketball, tennis, what I enjoy. I picked up pickleball last summer, which is a ton of fun. And, then hanging with friends and enjoying life.
When you look at your hero, who would you identify as your hero?
You know, I would say when I look at my hero, when I look at a hero, I really look at my parents. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is both my parents have passed away. My mom died when I was 25. My dad died unexpectedly 3 years ago. And, you know, it's interesting. There were so many things I learned about my parents after they passed away, and so many new perspectives I learned as I grow older of my parents. And sometimes I think, God, I don't know how they did what they did and in the situations that they were in. And because they really did their best to protect myself and my brother and my sister from a lot of junk. And yet they had to persevere and provide. And, you know, it was the times were much harder than I thought. And so, yeah, that was, and I would throw my grandfather, my grandpa Sam, in that too, because they were all just amazing people that did amazing things and, you know, just persevered through some really tough times.
How about historically, when you look at amazing people in history, who do you kind of go to as your go-to person?
Abe Lincoln.
Yeah, really?
I think he was a great man. He freed the slaves. And I just think that, you know, everything about him, I think was, you know, I shouldn't say everything because I don't know everything, but in many aspects, he portrayed himself as an impeccable leader. And in times where maybe today some of his decisions seem easy, but back then they were not. And I've always liked Abraham Lincoln.
Define success, because you deal with people and part of your existence is helping people achieve that. How do you define that?
I define success for yourself,
not for other people, for you.
I define success as inner fulfillment.
Okay.
And one of my favorite quotes is success without fulfillment is failure. Mm. And I have left careers because I was doing amazing, but I was not fulfilled. And so without inner fulfillment, I just, you know, that to me is success. I know that I'm doing what I absolutely love to do. I know I'm in my purpose. I know that there isn't one ounce of everything that I do that isn't doesn't have clean intents, that is not completely pure, and that I love everything that I do and the people that I work with. And it gives me huge inner peace and huge fulfillment.
If somebody wants to engage you, what is the best way for them to do that?
Sure. Well, I give my cell phone out to everybody. My cell phone is 248-535-7796. The best thing is to call me directly, and we can determine, you know, what your needs are and, you know, what that fit is. Again, I work with clients all over the country, all over the world via Skype and Zoom and conference calls. My clients in Michigan, obviously, I'm more meeting face to face. And the best way is to call me. You can also check out my website, John, J-O-N, Dwoskin, J-O-N-D as in David, W-O-S-K-I-N. I have a ton of blogs and blog series, multiple podcasts that I interview, some just phenomenal people. And I write for Forbes and a Detroit publication. And yeah, I have just tons of content, you know. So if you aren't in a position that you want to get a business coach yet, but you just, you know, need some info, you can check out my site. You can buy my book, you know, whatever makes sense for you.
So much content and so much good stuff. You know, I love that way. We were preparing for the podcast. I was like, how many podcasts have you done? You're like, oh, I don't know, like 500. I'm like, holy crap, dude. So I want to thank you. And I know that the community wants to thank you for being so free with your thought leadership. It's absolutely fantastic to have a resource like you. But I'm going to say something that I don't normally say. But there are so many financial services professionals out there who desperately need a leadership coach, that executive type coach, which is not anything I ever did. And there are very few good ones out there because they either don't have the experience or they don't have the right technique. And I personally believe that John does. So please reach out to him. You know, I've subscribed to your podcast already. I'm really looking forward to diving even more deeply. And I can't wait for your new book. I'm really, really excited about that. And we're going to have you back on the show when that puppy comes out. Is that cool?
I appreciate it, Matt. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for the, you know, the thoughts and the feedback. And I appreciate it. And I do work with people in the financial world. So I get that world. And I appreciate the brand. The branding you just gave me. thank you.
All right, man. Well, thank you once again. And everybody, make sure we'll put the show notes, all of those links, including his cell phone number, in the show note links. That way you guys can just go ahead and reach out to him. But check him out online. Check out him on social media. If you don't have a subscription to Forbes, he's worth that subscription. So make sure that you check him out. So, John, thank you very much for being on the show.
Hey, Matt, thank you. And thanks to your community for taking time to listen. I really appreciate them and I appreciate you, and always a blast. Thank you so much.
If you have not subscribed to the podcast, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. That way, every time we come out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. And if you know somebody who needs to hear what we just talked about, click that share button. Super easy to make it go out to all of your friends and family. And if you also have a moment, just give us a quick rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate that. It also gives us feedback on how we're doing. And finally, if you know anybody who would be a great guest on the podcast, matt@topadvisorm.com, you can just go ahead and quickly email me and I will be more than happy to get that person on. So for John, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by Iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at Iris.xyz.